Guten Morgen. A little German lingo there for you this Friday, May 6th at 6:02 and 24 seconds here in the great state of Oklahoma, broadcasting live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Time. Welcome to the Mark Kreslin Show here on the Veritas Radio Network, the Crusade Channel. That's right, we are live, just as we are Monday through Friday. And as a live call-in program, that means you are welcome to join us anytime you'd like. Just take out your smartphone, pick up your keypad there, dial 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. We'll connect you to the Louisiana studio. You'll talk to Christopher. They'll get you in line in the queue, and we'll bring you live here on our radio program, broadcasting in all 50 states, plural. We have not yet become one big monolithic state, though we are getting closer and closer to being a monolithic nation, especially with what's happening in North Carolina and the federal government flexing its muscle once again, showing these puny little states, you mean nothing. We will tell you what to do. We will tell you to jump. Your response is to be, how high, sir? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Massa Washington. How high would you like me to jump, sir? We'll see if North Carolina does that, but we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Glad you joined us here. Got a lot going on today. Want to direct you over to my website, markkreslin.com. I have an article up there I think you all need to download and read and share with your friends. Yes, it is provocative, but you know, why are we so afraid of provocative talk? You know, have we been conditioned to just avoid controversial ideas? And my ideas aren't even controversial. They seem controversial today, but if the things I talk about in my article titled Thinking Like Pilgrims and Settlers, if we had these conversations 200 years ago, they would be common conversations. They wouldn't be something you plug your ears or you tear up the paper when you read it. You'd actually read it and say, yeah, well, you know, maybe we need to consider that. Maybe it's time for another separation. Maybe it's time to board the Mayflower again or the Susan Constant again and get away from these guys. But today it's like, whoa, Kreslins, we're one nation under God, indivisible. Get it through your thick head, Kreslins. We've been saying that pledge for, you know, close to 100 years now. Yes, we know that pledge is not in the Constitution anywhere, but that doesn't matter. What matters is we've been standing up every kindergarten classroom day, putting our right hands over our heart and pledging allegiance to one nation under God and indivisible, and the flag that represents that. That's what we've been doing, Kreslins. That's the new Constitution. Get used to it, bucko. Get off your stupid little secession ideas. Get off your ideas of creating 3,144 states in this union. That's the number of counties that are here, by the way. Get off your stupid ideas of that. We want centralized power. We got it. Yeah, we don't like it, but you know what? You watch what's going to happen this election when Trump takes over. Things are really going to change this time. We know it. We feel it. We feel the Trump train a-moving. And it's going to bring about all those panaceas we've been hoping for. And you just watch, Kreslins. You'll be putting that right hand back over your heart again just as soon as he puts his over on the Bible and pledges to be faithful to the Constitution and his duties as president. You watch, Kreslins. I'll bet you by January 18th, you'll be putting your right hand back over your heart because Trump is on the way. Anyways, if you want to expand your thinking on real solutions, now, when I say real solutions, I don't mean easy solutions. I mean real solutions. So, as many people tell me, oh, we want to fix this, Kreslins. We're tired of it. We can't stand it anymore. If you really believe that, then I've got real solutions for you. They're not easy, but they're real. And they even have historic precedents. It's actually been done before. So not only are they real solutions, they've been solutions that we in our own history have done before. So please go over to my website, markkreslins.com. Read the article. I'm going to try to write another one that I've got prepared. This is one I've been working on for a little bit here, directed to my fellow evangelicals out there and those who are interested in what the evangelical community thinks about politics and how much error we have embraced. And it's time to come clean with some of this stuff and get some repenting going on. That's going to be the beginning of change. Also, you can email me anytime you'd like, mark@markkreslins.com. Keep sending them along. I appreciate them. Thank you for the kind words I get. That's very gracious of you. Being a self-deprecator, I tend to think I don't do a very good job, and it's always good to hear that you think I do. So thank you for the kind words. Also, please consider going over to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/The Mark Kreslin Show, even though I know some in the audience bristle when I say that. Because there apparently are other options out there that are better than Facebook in which we can connect. I have not found them yet. I'm getting better at Twitter. I actually did a couple of tweets yesterday. So I'm getting better at it. I'm just not quite there yet. It hasn't become as routine and as easy. And partly because I think part of it is because I'm limited to the 120 or 140 characters. And boy, I'll tell you, and maybe it's just me, and it probably is just me, but it's very hard to write in 140 characters something that makes sense. Now, other people do, but, you know, I'm getting used to it. So anyways, you can follow me over there at Mark Kreslins. I'll try to get better. Thank you for those of you who have recently followed me on that, on Twitter. I will get better. And it's just something that came along later and I just haven't gotten that familiar with. So, well, I will tell you folks, I am celebrating today, not just because it's Friday, but more importantly, as I watch day three of the GOP implosion saga, I am thrilled on two fronts. One, that I am no longer a member of the GOP and haven't been for years. And number two, I am thrilled that I am not part of the mainstream talk and conservative talk radio crowd. I am so happy that the position I've staked out over the past few years and related to this election is that I don't care who gets into the White House. It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, obviously as a Christian, I'm told to pray for those kings and rulers who are in authority over me so that I might live a quiet and peaceable life. Well, it's, you know, so I have that kind of biblical care, if you will. But in terms of a functional head of a government or construct of a government, I have come to the conclusion quite some time ago that this is an illegitimate government, that it's a de facto government. It has untethered itself. It's untied itself from whatever the Constitution was supposed to mean. It ain't that. That's for certain. I think we can all, can I get an amen on that? All right, I got my ear to the microphone. I'm listening. Can I get an amen? Your response is amen, Kreslins. You got that. At least you got that right, Kreslins. You get most of the stuff you talk about wrong, but Kreslins, at least you figured out that this government has untethered itself from the Constitution. Whatever we think the Constitution means, Kreslins, at least you got that right. Now, some of your stupid ideas may be, you know, over the top, and I ain't listening to them, but at least there's one thing you've got right. I just got an amen by Facebook. That's great. You're right. So whatever the Constitution is, was supposed to be, whatever you want to call it, clearly this is a de facto government, because a de facto government is something that has untethered itself from the authority. A de jure government is a government that stays connected to a written constitution in this case, or is in compliance with a contract and contract law. This is a de facto government. It's untied itself from what the founders, what at least, not the founders, excuse me, the framers were arguing that it was in 1787 and 88. That's just the fact, Jack. There ain't no way around it. Go read the ratification debates. What were they selling this thing as? Don't worry, everybody. This central government will not swallow the states. Well, guess what has happened? Who was either innocently or intentionally telling a fib back in 1787? There's only one conclusion to that. The Federalists who were running around the 13 states arguing that, don't worry, this thing will not swallow the states we've created in Philadelphia. We promise, cross our fingers, hope to die, stick a finger in. How'd that go? Cross your fingers, hope to die, stick a finger in your eye, or something like that. Well, it's a childhood rhyme, but I can't remember. I remember parts of it, but not all of it. But anyways, a bunch of those Federalists, those pro-big government nationalists back in 1787 and 88 were running around the 13 states saying, don't worry, ratify this baby. We promise. It's constructed in such eloquence and with such creativity that it cannot be used to swallow the states. The states will remain just as they are. We're just asking for a little bit more power, like the power to tax. Go. In fact, if you've got nothing to do this weekend, go to Google and type in the Virginia Plan. Read that baby. Read what some of those guys came to Philadelphia in May of 1787 intending to do. Read Resolve number 6. You'll see what old Jimmy Madison was wanting to do. And let me tell you, he didn't have quite the regard for the states that he did in 1798 when suddenly the states had a duty. We're in duty bound to arrest the progress of evil. Well, in 1787, when he and old Edmund got together and wrote the, and others, wrote the Virginia Plan, read Resolve number 6 and see what old architect or father of the Constitution wanted to do. You see, folks, when you look at actual history versus what certain pseudo historians run around, especially in the Christian community, and tell you what history is. When you actually read the documents, you find out it's not quite as pristine as you've been told. Far too often, people have been sold a view of Philadelphia that resembles a Wednesday night prayer meeting at a Baptist church where they all got together, broke bread, had a good meal, decided to write a few lines, more lines of the Constitution after hours of prayer, asking God to guide their hands on that paper. Very similar to the writing of the New Testament, and then, you know, a short few months later, out popped the Constitution. Well, that ain't, it was more like a Baptist business meeting. And for those of you who call yourself Baptist, or are members of a Baptist church, you know what I'm talking about, a typical Baptist business meeting. They ain't prayer meetings, let me tell you. Having attended a few of those over my life, I can assure you they ain't prayer meetings. Well, the Philadelphia Convention resembled that a lot more. So whatever the Constitution was supposed to be, whatever it was sold it was supposed to be in 1787 and 88, whatever the framers and the Federalists assured Patrick Henry and George Mason, don't worry about this, guys. This thing will not swallow the states. Well, look what's happening in North Carolina. Look what happened last year. Look what's happened in the last few decades. This federal government rolls the states anytime it wants to. So, how did that happen if supposedly all the delegates to the state conventions were reassured, vehemently reassured, have no fear, the Constitution is here. Don't worry, your states will maintain sovereignty. How did we go from those arguments to where we are today? Well, either the Constitution was deliberately strong and the first few Congresses decided to untether themselves from it, which they did, by the way, or it never really was that strong. It wasn't quite as strong as we've been, as the Federalists told us that it was. There were indeed loopholes. That tends to be my view. And as corrupt, greedy men who go in, go into Congress typically do, they find loopholes. And then they drive trucks through those loopholes. So something obviously happened, right? There's just no way to avoid the reality that obviously something happened. It came untethered. It broke away from whatever the Constitution was supposed to mean. And now the Constitution is merely a campaign prop for the GOP. That's all that it is. Let's be honest about it now. Let's not be afraid to be honest about it. It doesn't do us any good to bury our heads in the sand. Oh, Creslin, shut up. I don't want to hear that. Can we get Trump in there? Is there a write-in campaign for Cruz? Can we get on board with that? Creslin, don't tell me anything about reality. I want to live in a fantasy land that tells me that if we just get the right guy in there, it'll get fixed. Your stupid little show there is making me very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. And I'm going to give you about 5 more minutes, bucko. You better straighten this out. You better get back on to Hillary being the Antichrist and why she has to be stopped, or I'm turning your stupid little program off. I am not going to sit here and listen to this stuff telling me that this national government that I've pledged allegiance to my whole life has become untethered from the Constitution. I'm not taking that from you, Creslins. They tell us, Creslins, don't you listen to their campaign speeches? They tell us every 2 years that they are going to support the Constitution. Well, at least the Republicans do. They tell us that. Creslins, I've been at speeches where they have pulled it out of their pocket and they've waved it around. I've seen it with my own eyes. I want to believe them. I don't want to believe your stupid little comments about what happened back in 1787. Creslins, were you there? Did you hear all that? Well, I was at a campaign speech and I saw my guy whip out the Constitution. There, bucko, deal with that. Seriously, folks, too often. This does feel like uncomfortable talk. You will not hear this on mainstream talk radio. Part of it's because I genuinely believe they don't know. They have drank the GOP Kool-Aid. They've drank the conservative mantra that all we need to do is restore the Constitution. We need to vote for constitutional conservatives. Yada, 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 yada. Heard it for decades. That's what they know to do. That is already, I mean, you guys all know, because I imagine some of you in the listening audience still listen to mainstream talk radio. I would urge you to turn it off. As I admitted on air yesterday, I'm surprised at the pull it still has on me when I hear maybe this time it'll be different. And I've been away from it for years. It shows you the power of propaganda. It's, I think it's somewhat like You know, I play a lot of music out of the 60s and 70s on my program. And some of this I haven't heard for literally 30 years. But yet the words are still in my mind. I could still sing along with it and remember the words. It shows you the power of propaganda. An idea gets planted squarely in your head. It's hard to get it out. So even yesterday, or 2 days ago, as I was listening to mainstream talk radio after the Trump victory on Tuesday, and it was just easy to wander back into, well, maybe this time it will be different. And then, of course, I had to catch myself with facts. I had to realign my thinking and realize, Kreslin, you big dummy, there is no chance anybody fixes this thing. This thing is either going to be fixed by the people of the states deciding to get away from it, or it's just going to collapse in some, you know, manner that this thing will transform into some kind of a totalitarian oligarchy. Who knows? Maybe we'll develop a whole new phrase in political science to describe what America becomes. But it's going to be related to oligarchy, or we're already in oligarchy. So whatever, however bad oligarchies become, that's what collapse will mean. I mean, yeah, they have control of the money supply. So it could be really bad. Who knows? But there's no way that thing gets fixed by anybody running for office. So I had to realign my thinking again. Fair enough. That's okay. But it also reminded me of why not to listen to mainstream talk radio. Because the gravitational pull over there that you're hearing already, we've got to unite behind Donald Trump. Like I said, I started off, I am glad that I am not a mainstream talk, conservative talk radio host. And that's what I've got to offer to the audience. I was feeling for them last week when the campaign was still on and they were trying desperately not to choose sides, or at least appear to choose sides on air. Now we know Beck and Levin threw in with Cruz. I mean, the reality is Limbaugh and Hannity threw in with Trump. But Limbaugh and Hannity were desperately trying not to appear they were taking sides. I listened to it for a little bit when I'm driving around and just to catch up with what my competition's doing. And I'm listening to these guys agonize. And I realized how free I am on the air here to tell you what I really think. I'm not beholden to a party, and I'm not beholden to a candidate. I don't think there's any solutions there. In fact, I feel like I can prove there are no solutions there. But what I can prove also is that there are solutions. They're just not easy ones. And I fear that is still one of the great problems we face, is we want easy solutions. We want Olive Garden type solutions. We don't want to sacrifice. But I think I can also make a case, and this may be a part of my article this weekend, I can also make a case that the upside is incredible if we get away from Washington, D.C. I get it that it's hard to make a decision when you're afraid that, and North Carolina is getting threatened right now with being punished financially, economically, from the bullies. And why? Yeah, you know, where's the great conservative leaders in Congress coming to North Carolina's defense? Maybe they're out there. I haven't read any yet. But where are those stalwarts, those conservative stalwarts who have taken to the House floor and condemned President Obama for having the gall to threaten economic ruin on the people of North Carolina because they want to keep their bathrooms separate? You got to look at this stuff, folks. Where's the outrage? Yeah, you might get it from talk radio. Where's Paul Ryan introducing legislation to restrict the Civil Rights Act on that issue? I don't think I've seen it in the House yet. I mean, it might be there, but where's the leadership from the Speaker of the House and the majority leader in the Senate? Can somebody send me that legislation if it's out there, or call me with it, 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. Let me know where that bill is. I'd like to read it and see what how the great GOP is going to come to the aid of North Carolina. Yeah, sadly, Jeremiah, they're not even all talk right now. I haven't heard. Now, again, I don't watch all news sources. I don't pretend to claim that I stay locked on to CNN or Fox News all day. So maybe some congressman has put in legislation to restrict the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to just civil rights and not bathroom policy. I've not seen it yet, though. But where, you know, so where are they? You know, where is this? Where is this great moral party, the GOP, defending North Carolina? Yeah, you're smart, Jeremiah. And what do you hear? Crickets. Guys, don't buy it. I am so glad I got away from the GOP. I look at this and I look at the meltdown that's going on over there. And, you know, my first thought is they deserve every bit of it. They deserve every bit of this meltdown that is happening right in front of us. I think there's a good chance there is no GOP at some point in the near term. And I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter what my thoughts are on Trump or not. I think Trump is going to be positive in some areas and a disaster in others. But, you know, I look at this very pragmatically, and I think to myself, how could he be useful to what I believe, which is get away from Washington, D.C.? Is there any evidence that he might be useful there? Well, I think there is some emerging evidence that he would be useful to that. You'll remember early on, I said I thought that Trump might be a deal maker with five or six states that wanted to get away, wanted to de-unionize, wanted to secede from the union. Well, there's evidence that he may actually be of that mindset. Apparently, he is endorsing the British secession from the European Union. Well, that tells me that, you know, for a whole host of reasons, his instincts are towards letting people decide what they want to do. Well, all right, then that now that's a check in the good column of Donald Trump. But then there's also major checks against him. I'll post the article up there on my Facebook page where he apparently has endorsed personally. He's not said he's making a recommendation, but as the presumptive GOP nominee for the presidency, he has at least come on record on, I read his quote and said, I am in support of British seceding. Let's get used to that word. That's what Britain, that's what the UK is going to do, or are going to attempt to do in June of 2016. They are going to secede from the European Union. Let's not call it exit. Let's call it what it is. They are seceding. Just as the Scots voted whether or not they wanted to secede from the United Kingdom back in October of 2014, and Catalonia is trying to secede from Spain, I want to recapture that word. I tell you, I want to get so I if there's one hopeful outcome of the silly Mark Kreslin show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Time to 8 a.m. Central Time, is to recover that word. I think it should be just a routine part of our vocabulary. Let's see. How about this? How about we trade off? How about we stop saying we're electing leaders, quote unquote, leaders, and exchange that term with secession? Let's do a trade-off here. Let's all stop saying we're electing leaders, and instead let's replace that word with secession. I want to recapture the word secession. It's an honorable, noble word. There's nothing wrong with it. You do it all the time. When you quit your job and go to another one, you're seceding from that job. You're making a decision about where you want to work. It's free association. It's an unalienable right to choose who you want to associate with. We do that all the time. There should be no reason at all why we cannot apply that exact same word to our relationship to government. Why is it okay in every other area of our life? Well, Kresslins, don't you know Texas v. White settled that? Don't you know Abraham Lincoln killed 700,000 people to make sure that issue was settled once and for all? Kresslins, will you please get your head out of the sand and read some history books? This issue was settled. In fact, I think Abraham Lincoln tried to get that word secession erased from Webster's dictionary. That was supposed to happen. So we can't even utter the word secession, Kresslins, because that was settled. Thousands and thousands of pints of blood were shed so that issue could be settled. And on top of that, don't forget the Supreme Court ruled on this, Kresslins, and we genuflect before the Supreme Court. In fact, Donald Trump just said that the other day. When the Supreme Court says jump, our response is how high? This is one of the disastrous parts of Donald Trump. He's good. He appears to be good on secession, though you never know with a Trumpster. He could have a whole different idea tomorrow. From Politico. On the domestic front, Trump reiterated that Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis should not be in her particular line of work if she does not want to issue marriage licenses to same-sex marriages. Quote, "It was too bad she had to be put in jail, and I'm a very, very strong believer in Christianity and religion. But I will say that this was not the right job for her because we had a ruling from the Supreme Court. And we are a country of laws, right? And you have to do what the Supreme Court ultimately, whether you like the decision or not, and it was a 5-4 decision," he said, "whether you like the decision or not, you have to go along with the Supreme Court. So that's the way it is. That's the disaster, Donald Trump." Here's another disaster of Donald Trump. After having read his foreign policy speech a few days ago and having hope that maybe he would get us out of what is a foolish adventure into the Middle East, and he claimed he was going to have a hands-off policy, he said this. He now claims that, quote, "We probably should have done something in Syria with Assad. I thought just a couple of weeks ago he was saying, we need to leave Assad to the Middle East." To tell you, you got to be careful with this guy. Like I said, I'm a pragmatist when it comes to these guys. If they can help us with our ultimate goal, which is to think like a pilgrim and a settler and get away from Washington, D.C., well, hey, you know, let's be glad about that. But for people that are winding up now and getting all emotional and getting on the Trump train and think he's going to do something, he might do some things. I'm not questioning that. They may not be things you like. I encourage caution. Like I said, I will be writing in on my ballot, "I do not consent to this system of government." That will be what I write. That'll be my vote for president. I will proclaim my opinion that I do not consent to this. I don't. It's an illegitimate government. How could I possibly legitimize the illegitimate? What does that say about me? So though it will probably disqualify my ballot, okay. You know, the corruption's on autopilot at just about every level of government anyways. So it'll disqualify my ballot. But at least somebody will read it and say, hey, Margaret, look at what this big dummy did. This big dummy over here wrote he doesn't consent to the system of government. Well, what if Margaret says, I wonder why a guy would write that, and starts to think a little bit about this problem? Well, maybe I'll convert one person. Well, listen, we got to head into a hard break here. I want to encourage everybody to please consider becoming a Founders Pass member today. Thank you for everybody. We've been having some great numbers coming in, guys. This is evidence to us that our message is catching on out there. The numbers are all headed in the right direction. We just need more of you to get your friends to listen live. Call in 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. Register your opinion. I know it's a little bit hard to call in on this radio show and mics because our topics are not typical. It's very easy to try and get on the line with Rush and explain why Donald's great or Donald's horrible or whatever. That's easy talk. This is a little bit more complicated talk. You might be afraid you got your history wrong and you don't want to get called out on the air on that. On my show, and I've seen on Mike's show, we won't do that. My objective here is not to embarrass anybody. Otherwise, I've got to embarrass myself. Heck, man, there's a lot, you know, as you all will remember, if you've listened to the show for any length, I used to work on Capitol Hill for two members of Congress. Talk about drinking the Kool-Aid. I had it oozing out of my pores. My intent is not to embarrass anybody. It's just to have a conversation, let people hear your point of view. Had a great call yesterday from Lance in Kansas City, who's on his pilgrimage like I am, trying to figure out, okay, how do we break the paradigm in our thinking and think differently about the problem? So also want to remind everybody that this weekend, this Sunday, is Mother's Day. If you have a mother, you better be doing something for her, or you're in trouble on the Mark Reslin Show. We'll cancel your listenership. And if you want to do something here at the last minute for her, something that is very meaningful. Now, I'm not going to criticize a bouquet of flowers or chocolates. That's great. But how about giving her something that has a lasting memory to her? Go to our good friends over at McClure Block and order a handcrafted, handmade cutting board. I got one for my wife. She's still sleeping, so she doesn't know that I got this for her. It'll be here today, actually. These guys, you go to their website, McClureBlock.com, some of the most creative and beautiful wood products you'll ever see. And if you order today, today's the last day, if you pick up the phone and call 800-565-0977 or go to McClureBlock.com, you'll get 25% off of an order for a handmade cutting board. 25% off because you listen to this show. Stay tuned, folks. We come back. We'll get into this more topics.